Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for December 3rd, 2018. We'll begin our reading today with the front page story entitled Holiday Hope, Program Fulfills Wishes of Area Children and Teens by Carol Rem. Because of a grant, we've expanded to 14 different schools and the Laura Lee Fellowship House, so we have a lot of kids in need. Not only do we help Project Success Child, but if they have school-age siblings, we would help them as well with gifts. Danville. This is one of the busiest times of the year for Project Success, a Vermilion County staff, as they hope to fulfill nearly 200 area children's wishes this holiday season. Project Success's 19th annual Christmas wish list program is in full swing, with rolls of Christmas wrapping paper and piles of boxes filling the office space at the After School Programs headquarters at 917 North Walnut Street. Community members and local businesses have purchased the bulk of the gifts that are now being wrapped by Project Success staff. Those gifts will be opened by the 189 Project Success children and teens that are in extreme need in Vermilion County and are not being served by any other holiday program in the area. This year, more children and teens were on the Christmas wish list than in years past because Project Success was able to expand its after-school enrichment programming to serve more than 350 additional children in 7 new locations in the county. Project Success is in every school district in the county except Bismarck and Armstrong Potomac. Because of a grant, we've expanded to 14 different schools and the Laura Lee Fellowship House, so we have a lot of kids in need, Project Success Assistant Director Kimberly David said. Not only do we help the Project Success child, but if they have school-age siblings, we would help them as well with gifts. The priority for each child and teen on the list is that they receive winter clothing and a warm coat. If donations allow, toys and stocking stuffers are included as part of the gifts. Although the individual wishes of all 189 children and teens on this year's Christmas wish list are being taken care of, Program Director Abby Bone said there is an urgent need for at least 50 boys' and girls' coats in various sizes. In addition to coats, stocking stuffers, and monetary donations to purchase needed items are still being accepted. "We're taking monetary donations to fill in the missing pieces," Bone said. The Christmas Wish List program started out small in 1999 after Project Success staff realized some of the families of the children in the program had basic needs, such as clothing, coats, shoes, and hygiene items. Preparations for the annual Christmas Wish List program begin well before Halloween. Kimberly David, Project Success Assistant Director every year, with referrals being sought for the children and teens with the most in need of Project Success's programs. "We started planning in early October with the site coordinators who work with the children every day," Bowen said. "A child or teen is eligible to be placed on the wish list if he or she is enrolled in one of the Project Success's after-school programs, meets income guidelines, and is not already receiving holiday help from another organization, such as Salvation Army, United Way, or Santa's Anonymous in Westville. The children come from low-income families and have to be involved in one of the Project Success programs at one of the 15 locations," Bowen said. "We check with the parents first to make sure they want to participate," she said. "Any siblings that are school age or younger in the home, we want to take care of them too. Children and teens, however, may not be on the wish list 2 years in a row, so other children may be helped. If they were on the list last year, they weren't this year," David said. "The Christmas wish list program wouldn't be able to help as many children and teens in the county if it weren't for the generosity of several Danville businesses and their employees and other community members. Some longtime business supporters include the employees at Danville School District 118, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Environox, Walgreens and Accounting, and the Veteran Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, that select many of the children to help. Some businesses select up to 50 children or shop for several families. There are businesses that help us big time, David said. We definitely couldn't do it without the community's help. Each child or teen on the wish list is assigned a number. The list gives the child's or teen's gender, but doesn't provide names or any other confidential information. Clothing and shoe sizes are listed, as well as a toy for younger children, or another item if it is for a teen. It's really neat this year because we had a community member that contacted Executive Director Ricky Williams to see how many children were left on the list. Bowen said this community member worked with his family and friends to make sure the last 8 kids were taken care of. Community members who purchase gift items for a child or teen are asked not to wrap them when they are dropped off at Project Success. David Bowen and other staff members take special care to make sure the gift items are evened out if there is more than one child or teen in a family receiving gifts. We keep an inventory of everything we receive, Bowen said. People who aren't shopping for a particular child will bring in things too. We'll set them out and have like a shopping spree throughout the office where the staff selects items for the children. David and Bowen try to make sure each child or teen receives a pair of shoes, 2 warm outfits, a coat, 1 or 2 toys, hygiene items, and a stocking. Then the hours and hours of gift wrapping begins. All of our full-time staff wraps gifts, Bowen said. Eventually, the halls and offices of Project Success headquarters will be filled with gifts. This year, however, more children and teens will be receiving gifts than in past years, which makes Bowen wonder where the staff is going to pile all of the gifts. That'll be fun figuring that out, she laughed. All of the wrapped gifts are placed in 30-gallon trash bags and tagged with the child or teen's name and assigned a number. The bags of gifts used to be delivered to each family across the county, but that was discontinued several years ago when the Christmas wish list started approaching 200 children. The gifts are bagged for each individual child, and the families pick them up from us the week the kids get out for Christmas break. Bowen said her favorite part of the Christmas wish list program is when the gifts are picked up. That's usually the biggest payout for me, she said. Every year we hear how without this program, the family might not have as nice a Christmas. Not only are we helping our Project Success kids, but we're also relieving stress for the parents and making their holiday season happier. Bowen said it's also fun and rewarding for our site coordinators because they have a personal connection with these kids. She added that she is appreciative of the generosity of the community members who make the Christmas wish list program a continued success. I'm so thankful for our community, she said. Every year there's more people wanting to help. It's so nice to see so many people willing to help, Bowen said. Our next article is entitled George H.W. Bush Dies at 94, Houston. He was the man who sought a kinder and gentler nation, and the one who sternly invited Americans to read his lips he would not raise taxes. He was the popular leader of a mighty coalition that dislodged Iraq from Kuwait and was turned out of the presidency after a single term. Blue-blooded and genteel, he was elected in one of the nastiest campaigns in recent history. George Herbert Walker Bush was many things, including only the second American to see his son follow him into the nation's highest office. But more than anything else, he was a believer in government service. Few men or women have served America in more capacities than the man known as Poppy. There is no higher honor than to serve free men and women, no greater privilege than to labor in government beneath the great seal of the United States and the American flag, he told senior staffers in 1989, just days after he took office. Bush, who died at 94, nearly 8 months after his wife of 73 years died at their Houston home, was a congressman, an ambassador to the United Nations, an envoy to China, chairman of the Republican National Committee, director of the CIA, 2-term vice president, and finally president. He was no ideologue. He spoke disparagingly of the vision thing and derided the supply-side creed of his future boss, Ronald Reagan, as voodoo economics. He is generally given better marks by historians for his foreign policy achievements than for his domestic record, but assessments of his presidency tend to be tepid. Was George Bush only a nice man with good connections, who seldom had to wrest from life the honors it frequently bestowed on him? Journalist Tom Wicker asked in his Bush biography. Wicker's answer, perhaps, but he said Bush's actions in Kuwait reflect moments of courage and vision worthy of his office. The Persian Gulf War, dubbed Operation Desert Storm, was his greatest mark on history. In a January 2011 interview, marking the war's 20th anniversary, he said the mission sent a message that the United States was willing to use force way across the world, even in that part of the world where those countries over there thought we never would intervene. I think it was a signature historical event, he added, and I think it will always be. After Iraq invaded Kuwait in August of 1990, Bush quickly began building an international military coalition that included other Arab states. After freeing Kuwait, he rejected suggestions that the U.S. carry the offensive to Baghdad, choosing to end the hostilities a mere 100 hours after the start of the ground offensive. That wasn't our objective, he said. The good thing about it is there was so much less loss of human life than had been predicted, and indeed than we might have feared. But the decisive military defeat did not lead to the regime's downfall, as many in the administration had hoped. I miscalculated, Bush acknowledged. The Iraqi leader was eventually ousted in 2003 in the war led by Bush's son that was followed by a long, bloody insurgency. Unlike his son, who joined the Texas Air National Guard during the Vietnam era but served only in the U.S., the elder Bush was a bona fide war hero. He joined the Navy on his 18th birthday in 1942 over the objections of his father, Prescott, who wanted him to stay in school. At one point, the youngest pilot in the Navy, he flew 58 missions off the carrier USS San Jacinto. His wartime exploits won him the Distinguished Flying Cross for bravery. He was shot down on September 2, 1944, while completing a bombing run against a Japanese radio tower. Eight others who were shot down in that mission were captured and executed, and several were eaten by their captors. But an American submarine rescued Bush. Even then, he was an inveterate collector of friends. Aboard the sub Finback, I made friendships that have lasted a lifetime, he would write. This was a man who hand-wrote thousands of thank you notes, each one personalized, each one quickly dispatched. Even his political adversaries would acknowledge his exquisite manners. Admonished by his mother to put others first, he rarely used the personal pronoun I, a quirk exploited by comedian Dana Carvey in his Saturday Night Live impressions of the president. Bush was born June 12, 1924, in Milton, Massachusetts. His father, the son of an Ohio steel magnate, had moved east to make his fortune as an investment banker with Brown Brothers, Harriman, and later served 10 years as a senator from Connecticut. His mother, Dorothy Walker Bush, was the daughter of a sportsman who gave golf its Walker's Cup. Competitive athletics were a passion for the Bushes, whether at home in Greenwich, Connecticut, or during long summers spent at Walker Point, the family oceanfront retreat in Kennebunkport, Maine. Bush, along with his three brothers and one sister, had lives of privilege, seemingly untouched by the Great Depression. Young Bush attended Greenwich County Day School and later Phillips Academy at Andover, Massachusetts, where he was senior class president and captain of the baseball and soccer teams. It was there at a dance that he met Barbara Pierce, daughter of the publisher of McCall's Magazine. George and Barbara would marry when he left the Navy in January 1945. They were together for more than 7 decades, becoming the longest married presidential couple in U.S. history. She died on April 17, 2018. Out of the service, Bush resumed his education at Yale. Lean and 6'2", he distinguished himself as first baseman and captain of the baseball team, which went to the College World Series twice. He took just 2.5 years to graduate Phi Beta Kappa. Our next article is entitled, Grant to Fund 6 More Hires. That's on top of 2 to replace recent retirees, by Tracy Crane. Danville. 8 probationary firefighters are expected to be appointed this week in Danville thanks to a 7-figure federal grant. 2 of the hires are replacements for recent retirees, but the 6 others will be funded in larger part by a SAFER, Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response, grant of more than $1 million. The Safer 6 will be a boost to firefighting staffing that leaders of the local union have been pleading for as the department's ranks have dwindled over the past 2 decades. The reduction has happened mostly through attrition in an effort by city leaders to control rising costs in the department. Currently, there are about 40 full-time Danville firefighters, including a training officer position. In 2009, it was about 50, and back in 2000, the city had more than 60 firefighters. As numbers have decreased, overtime has risen sharply, with off-duty firefighters working extra hours to meet negotiated requirements of minimum staffing. Leaders of the International Association of Firefighters, Local 429, have argued that manpower has been reduced to a point that it's putting at risk the lives of citizens and firefighters alike. So this year, the firefighters submitted their own application for a federal SAFER SAFER grant. The grant pays about 75% of the annual cost of 6 positions for 2 years, and 35% the third year. After that, the whole tab is on the city. But aldermen who approved the grant hope the city is in a financial position 3 years from now that it can afford retaining them. Since accepting the SAFER grant, the city has applied for another federal grant that would help with costs to equip the 6 grant-funded firefighters. Acting Mayor Ricky Williams, Jr., said the amount of the request for the Assistance for Firefighters grant was 90% of $262,500, with a 10% city match. Williams said the grant would likely be awarded in early January, with funds going out starting in March. Union leaders maintain the SAFER dollars will create an overall savings in the fire department each year due to a reduction in overtime. Overtime is on track to far surpass the $600,000 budgeted this fiscal year. With 5 months left, City Comptroller Shelley Scott said firefighter overtime is already at $483,812. Current projections for end-of-year fire overtime costs are $838,608. That's according to Scott. The firefighters project that overtime costs will drop to around $100,000 a year with the Safer 6 on board. Prior to the Danville City Council accepting the grant, Ward 7 Alderman Lloyd Randall pushed firefighters to come to the table during this 3-year grant phase and negotiate changes that would help the city further control costs. He said these costs are killing Danville. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. First is Francis May Rogers, 68, of White House, Tennessee, died Thursday, November 23, 2018, at her home. Committal service and burial of the ashes will be at 1 p.m. Thursday, December 6, in Middle Tennessee. Gail D. Myrick, 75, of Fairmount, passed away at 1:48 p.m. Friday, November 30th, 2018, at his home. Gail's expressed desire was for cremation with no formal services. Those wishes have been honored. Elizabeth Marie Kirby Ferguson, 29, of Rossville, passed away at 6 a.m. Wednesday, November 28th, 2018, at St. Louis University Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. A celebration of Elizabeth's life will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, December 6, 2018, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston. She will be laid to rest following the services in Floral Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to Elizabeth's children to help with their college fund. Dolores Ann Battle, 59, of Champaign, formerly of Danville, died at 5:50 a.m. Thursday, November 29, 2018, at Illini Heritage Nursing Home. Funeral services will be at noon Wednesday at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. Pastor Ricky Hoskins will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. Monday at the funeral home. Richard Jones. Richard Dick Jones, 79, of Hoopston, died Saturday, December 1, 2018, at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Blurton Funeral Home, Hoopston. Cole E. Ross, 20, of Ivesdale, passed away at 3:45 p.m., Saturday, December 1, at St. Mary's Hospital, Decatur. Private family services will be held with Mackie Wright Funeral Home, Monticello, handling the arrangements. Stephen Allen Squire Rhodes, 62, of Hoopston, passed away at 1:42 p.m. Thursday, November 29, 2018, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, Urbana. A visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 4, 2018, at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. The funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 5, 2018, at the funeral home, with Dave Rhodes officiating. Burial will follow in Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. Elizabeth Ann Ruffino, 60, of Danville, died at 8:15 p.m. Thursday, November 29, 2018, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center, Danville. According to her wishes, cremation rites have been accorded and there will be no visitation or service. Brenda Miller Neal. Services to celebrate the life of Brenda Miller Neal, 57, formerly of Danville, will be at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, December 1st at Royal Funeral Home, 4315 Oakwood Avenue, Huntsville, Alabama. Visitation was held an hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Brenda transitioned at 1 p.m. Tuesday, November 27, 2018. Rick Ross, 70, of Danville, died Thursday, November 29, 2018, at home. Graveside services for the Marine Corps veteran will be at 1 p.m. Tuesday at Sunset Memorial Park, 3901 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Pastor J. Sorrell will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Michael Garwood, 57, died at 6:53 p.m. Wednesday, November 28, 2018, in Orlando, Florida. Funeral services were incomplete at Robison Chapel in Catlin. And now we'll turn to Rediscover Danville. It's a Wonderful Downtown Holiday by Carol Nichols, Director, Illinois SBDC at DAC. The Night of Lights Christmas Parade is happening Friday night in downtown Danville. This year's parade is presented by Senior Source Danville, Live Life Connected, and the theme is It's a Wonderful Life. The parade will start at 6:30. The route has changed this year. The floats will start on Seminary and head south on Vermilion, passing by the grandstand next to the Fisher Theater, where announcer Larry Weatherford will tell us about each of the more than 40 entries, to conclude at Town Center. The parade is later than usual this year also, coinciding with Discovering Danville's hometown holiday, their December 1st Friday event. The Vermilion Heritage Foundation, the Fisher Theater, is the parade sponsor and will benefit from all proceeds. The Fisher will be selling hot cocoa with other refreshments and will host their indoor farmers market both Friday evening and Saturday in spite of ongoing construction. Mr. Julius W. Hegeler II will be the Grand Marshal of this year's parade in recognition of his generosity to the Fisher and the community as a whole. Enjoy lots of places to go inside, warm up with hot cocoa, and shop for gifts or stroll along Vermilion enjoying the lights and window art. Downtown businesses have outdone themselves this year with beautiful holiday window displays. Vote for your favorite by making a donation to the Fisher Theater, either at the store or through the Downtown Danville Facebook page. Area artists have made even vacant buildings beautiful, with scenes of children playing in the snow, the Grinch stealing Christmas, or even Santa rocking out on his world tour. Lighted trees line the streets, and grace Temple Plaza, Kresge Park, and the signpost Forest, courtesy of the City of Danville, Downtown Danville, Inc., and Watchfire. Liftoff Downtown will be hosting a vendor market in their building at 149 North Vermilion, where you can shop and even have your gifts wrapped. Love and Cup Food Truck will be open and serving peppermint hot cocoa and iced sugar cookies. Sweet Repeats will be open and hosting a hot chocolate bar. The Heron Restaurant will be hosting the hometown holiday dinner with specialty cocktails and hot cocoa for sale. They're also hosting a drive for winter wear. Please bring any gloves, hats, scarves, or other winter wear for them to be donated to those in need. Vermilion County Democratic Party will be hosting a Night of Lights coffee and cocoa party. Cafe 13 will be open, don't forget, that fresh is best, and will be selling their famous hot cocoa. Ornament making and gift wrapping will happen at Senior Source Danville, and many other downtown businesses will be open for the evening. At Temple Plaza, the Radiant Reds will be performing before the parade from 5:30 to 6:15, and there will be face painting by local artist Hannah Saltzman with winter Christmas-themed choices for $5. Santa will visit with children before and after the parade. The fun continues on Saturday when Santa will be in his new house at Temple Plaza from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., sponsored by Classic Homes Realty. Danville Sweet Adelines will be performing on stage at Temple from 11 to 11:30, and Stephen Dallas Rodman will perform from 11:30 to 1. Santa will arrive in a horse and carriage, and free rides will be provided in his carriage beginning at Temple from 11 to 1. Rediscover why it is truly a wonderful life in Danville, downtown, this weekend. And we'll close with the editorial, Giving is the Best Gift. Giving to help others stands as a long-honored tradition during Christmas time, and not just bright packages wrapped up in shiny bows, but gifts that can help people enjoy a few of the fundamental elements of the season. Vermilion County area residents, including those in West Central Indiana, have several ways to help make Christmas merrier for many. All will welcome contributions of any amount, as a few dollars from many add up quickly to provide help for those in need. The United Way's annual campaign continues through the season. The money it collects goes to member agencies that reach all ages, from newborns to senior citizens. The agencies provide activities, medical assistance, and guidance. The familiar Red Kettle campaign of the Salvation Army stands as an icon of the season. The bright sounds of bells at local businesses encouraging passersby to donate what they can. The money goes to provide assistance with housing, clothing, utilities, medicine, and foods throughout the year. The Toys for Tots annual drive, sponsored by the Marine Corps League, helps make sure new toys will be found under Christmas trees for many children who otherwise might not have any presents. These groups stand as just a few of the many local organizations that work to improve the lives of our neighbors. As you check off your holiday tasks this year, be sure to make a donation to the group of your choice. You'll find that giving is the best gift. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for December 3, 2018. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.